your income is not limited by your idea. Maybe it is a little bit. I don't like to speak in absolutes, but for the most part, your idea is not what determines how much money you're going to make. It's actually your marketing mindset that determines how much money you're going to make.
This is Superfast Business with James Schranko.
James Schranko.
Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schranko here. Welcome back to superfastbusiness.com. In our last episode, we were speaking to Dane Maxwell, who has a business called The Foundation. And it was a great episode about the steps that you can go through when you're doing a startup. But what I think is really interesting is to observe other marketers and how they market their own message, especially when they believe in it so strongly. So I want to welcome back to the call, Dane.
What's up, man?
So, Dane, this is a little quick sort of sideways look at your business. We learned all about what it is you teach and who your customers are. I want to talk about your sales and marketing process. A few things that I've noticed is that you're using a really good video production on your sales page. Now, we may not know the results of it yet, but it's so in line with what I've been talking about on Superfast Business. You have some very strong copywriting. You use a huge open loop and you cut between shots of you and then a documentary style video sharing your event that you must have run, a little thing, and you're telling stories. I'd love you if you could just give us a little bit of background to that and how you decided on doing that when, you know, a lot of people use long form copy, some people use PowerPoint presentations. What was the process in the background for you marketing your own product?
I don't know. We just did what felt right. But, you know, we're able to do that because we've been, like, you know, I've copied all these sales letters by hand, so I understand how to sell. And so, like, when you're doing things in life and you become an office, you learn all the rules and then you learn how to break them. Then you break them. And I don't know if we broke rules with the video or not, but we just did what felt right. And that was based on 6 years of direct response, absorbing direct response into the entire ecosystem of my body. Now we knew that, you know, long form ugly sales letters work. The thing we found though is that they tend to attract a specific kind of person. And what we found is that the quality of your marketing attracts the quality of your people. So the quality of our employees, we have like 10 people at the foundation right now, and the quality of the customers are like phenomenal. Like the community, the foundation is nuts, like super sophisticated, very intelligent, you know, skeptical as you would usually imagine, but still their mind is open. And we did that by this high quality video. So yeah, you know, the video starts off with an open loop because we've got to keep people hooked. Open loops are like the greatest thing that we've found to keep attention. And so,
but there is one greater thing though, Dane.
What's that?
I'll tell you later.
You bastard. I was like, really, what is it?
Oh,
is it,
good.
Is it, if you want to pump it up, James, you can tell me what it's not right now.
Well, you know, the what it's not and who it's not for is a great negative qualifier to screen off the people who aren't ideal, which is, you know, hinging back on our previous discussion, I screen out startups because my program's not for them. And you probably do the opposite and screen out people who think they know everything about making a product first and all that stuff.
I don't know how strictly we screen out. We have an application process and we reject about 10% of the applicants.
Well, you kick out people who start coding, right?
Yep, we do. We kick them.
So it's not for someone who thinks they can rewrite your principles.
That is true.
So some of the things that caught my eye, I mean, I talk a lot about and make a lot of videos. I liked your video production. You had the on-camera element. How important do you think it was for you to be on camera?
I don't know.
Well, you have a lot of personality in your marketing. I think a lot of the success of your business is coming from your emotional side, which is more developed than a lot of entrepreneurs, obviously. How important is it to put the customers in there with that documentary-style video?
Incredibly important. If it was just me talking on a teleprompter with a green screen behind me, that shit would be lame. And the first thing I wanted people to understand when they came to the foundation is like, this place is legit and it has depth beyond what you know, but we're going to try to show you that depth. So the very first clip was like that gathering into that fireplace room.
Yep.
And what we found is that like when people watched that, they all wanted to be joined in that room. So that happened before I stepped on. I look like so much more of a badass after I come on after that first part.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm seeing a huge trend, and I'm going to predict this, that the best way of selling in the future is going to be documentary style, engaging stories that happen to have the message built into it. We do this a lot. I do it for my customers, motor dealers, legal customers. I hire a film crew. We make a documentary, and that becomes the basis of why people are going to engage with them instead of a traditional sales thing. And, you know, people in my mastermind group are filmmakers, interestingly, and they are starting to get a lot of work dealing with businesses who need to get an edge over the traditional, you know, sales video. But you've still got a lot of the elements. You leveraged off famous people. I noticed you put some famous people in your video to borrow some credibility and to use their points and to bring that into your message. That was very clever. When you visit your site, you start getting stalked on Facebook. So I noticed you must be using some kind of remarketing.
Yep, that's all done independent of me. We've just hired all that stuff out because we know we need to do it. I think retargeting is probably the greatest thing that we're doing right now. But I remember the famous people in the video too. Yeah, I have a copywriting checklist that I follow that's like really unconscious, and it's like 10 things that we do. And one is to borrow credibility from famous people. Other is to open loops. Other is to address objections. And so I just kind of do all those things automatically.
You also had your small town boy come good story.
Yep, we also had that. I'm so glad you know all this stuff so you can bring it out. Because like I forget it all because it's so unconscious. That's why I like the framework inside the foundation, because it's such an unconscious process for me that I have to like go back in and be like, oh yeah, this is what I do here.
Well, that's what I look at, what people are doing as well as what they're saying. And you know, you have a very successful approach to the marketing. And I imagine that's transferring to your students when that comes for them to market their products. You're also doing something with contest marketing, which is something I interviewed some guys in the fitness market for years ago, way back in the archives here. Somewhere on superfastbusiness.com is an interview I did with Craig Ballantyne called The Skinny on Contest Marketing. But how are you finding the contest marketing aspect?
Well, we're gearing up to run our first contest, so we have no idea. But I'm hoping that it goes really, really well.
Now, we'll put a link in the show notes where people can go and have a look at how that works. What's the prize?
So contest, it's not like anything lame. Like, hopefully you never gave these away, but like iPads.
Let's just clear this up right now, Dane. I'm not a lame marketer, so you'll be fine. Chances are I haven't done it.
Okay, cool. So like, you know, giving away a free iPad or something is, I guess I wouldn't call it lame, but it's like really standard. It's like, oh, great, an iPad.
Well, I don't like manipulation generally, because it's just it's a cheap tactic. It means that it's usually a crutch for not having something awesome enough that people are going to really resonate with it. However, I think I know what your contest prize is.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something awesome. People want more than anything.
Yeah. Well, the prize is that you get to be a 50% partner in one of my businesses with me for a year. And collect 49.9% partner, so you can't like make decisions, and you collect 49.9%. Basically, you collect 50% of the profits the business makes for a year.
That's what people want more than anything. They want access to you, and they really want someone to do it for them, I think, is the ultimate. That's the ultimate thing that from my experience, when people are on the search for the Holy Grail, it will be, could someone just do everything for me? That sounds like it's as close as you might get.
Well, yeah, you get to be a partner in the business. You get to see how a software company runs. You get to be like owner. So you collect profit whether you work or not. But I imagine you'll probably want to work on it. We won't accept people unless they want to work on it. But you do play owner. And you get trained by me, my CEO who runs that company. And you collect 49% of the profits, or 50 or whatever. It fits 50%. And you get to talk to the developer and ask them questions and see how they develop. And you get to talk to customers and you get to see what it's like to have a business where people are excited to give you money month after month after month. And the business at its peak was doing 20 grand a month. And the business now is between 3 to 5 grand a month. So your profit that you're expected to take is right around 800 bucks a month. Right out of the gate, you're getting 800 bucks a month. And the business is quickly growing because we have a CEO running it. It's like going to be up to $5,000 or $6,000 a month by the time someone comes on board. And when you come on board, I don't see any issues with you getting back with you getting it back up to $20,000 a month. It's just a matter of a couple hours of work a day to keep that business sustaining at $20,000 a month. I just don't spend the time on it because I want to do a bigger game at the foundation.
Right. And now, as part of your process for marketing, you must have some kind of outreach program, contacting people with podcasts, et cetera. I've heard you being interviewed on other podcasts. How effective is that?
90% of our sales last year came from podcasts. The other 10% came from affiliates. So like 30% from Mixergy, 30% from Smart Passive Income, and then like 30% from other various podcasts. And so podcasts, like, we didn't pay much in affiliate commissions. So we did a, like roughly $1 million launch, like 850,000 after a 15% refund rate, which we were not happy with. We want to be less than 10% this year. We made some mistakes that we are absolutely correcting, like organization of content, access to more mentors, just things that people were unhappy with, we're fixing. And but anyway, those sales came from podcasts. But my whole model that I've launched every, like the marketing approach I use to launch every business is I find one customer, I find their pain, I solve their pain, I help them get a result with that pain, I interview them on how they got a result with that pain, and I blast that interview out to everyone else in a similar target market. So when I got started with recruiting, real estate recruiting, helping real estate companies recruit agents, I got one broker to fund the development of the product, gave me the idea, everything. Gave me the idea, gave me the money. I started with no idea, no money, no expert knowledge. I hired the developer, got the product going. Then I interviewed him on how well it was working for him, and I blasted it out to all the other brokers. And then I got like five more brokers that signed up. And then when they got success, I interview them and blast out those interviews. And it's just the whole interview model. Then when Paypal's pipeline came out, I solved that one problem for that broker. I organized an entire webinar. I brought that broker on. And I just the webinar was just me interviewing the broker on how awesome Paypal's pipeline is. And then I had a call to action on it with the foundation. We launched with I launched it off of an interview on Mixergy where I said, hey, if you want to get trained by me to do a software company, go to danemaxwell.com and fill out an application. If I like you, you're accepted. If I don't, sorry. That application was the most genius marketing thing ever to have people apply. And then 88 people joined that first group. And then we had three really successful people, Sam Ovens being one of them, interviewed Sam, and Sam became the case study, launched the foundation. So my whole model is find the pain, solve the pain, get the result of that customer with the pain, do an interview on how that pain was removed, and blast that interview out to other people who have similar pain. That's been my marketing model since day one, and it's always worked.
It's a nice one. You know, 10 years ago, I went to a friend of mine who was a smash repairer, or a panel shop, not sure what you call them there, motor repairer. And I interviewed him about the challenges he was having in the business. And then I had him purchase the Dan Kennedy books that I wanted, which I then read and then used the books to solve his problems. So it was a self-funded training program. But you really don't need to have money if you take your approach. The thing that you do, that little extra step that not many other people do, is you are documenting your success and then leveraging that, and then by syndicating it. That's the bit a lot of people do not do. I guess you might call it tooting your own horn in a way, but because the customer is the hero, you can kind of get away with that.
Yeah, and there's some really brilliant things, like the way that the foundation, there's a headline formula that I like to use, which is the end result the customer wants in a specific period of time while addressing objections. So build a software company in 6 months, what they want, a specific period of time, while addressing objections. So build a software company in 6 months, even if you have no idea what to build or limited money or how to code. And that's the headline that launched the foundation with that simple headline formula. It's also the same headline formula that launched Domino's Pizza, hot fresh pizza delivered in 30 minutes or it's free, what they want, a specific period of time while addressing an objection. And the objection happened to be a guarantee. And so tooting your own horn. When we launched Paperless Pipeline, if I would have launched that webinar, the headline of that webinar was Recruiting Secrets of a 200-plus Agent Office in Tennessee. And then the recruiting secret was using great mobile technology to recruit agents. Now, if I would have named that webinar, like all of my competitors do, Real Estate Transaction Management Software Demonstration, it would not have been nearly as successful. So, yeah, there's a lot of little...
Well, headlines are very important, and it's obvious you have strong copywriting. My webinar template was, I think, the highest converting webinar template in lead pages for quite some time. And instead of saying webinar, I called it free online business coaching.
Nice.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't even know what a webinar is. So talking the customer's language is important.
Oh, wow, that's so important. That's really good.
Well, this was just a short one, Dan, and it's because I wanted to find out where this was coming from. You know, so just a quick recap, you do have an inherent sales process. You are a student of copywriting. You use open loops. You're using videos. You're using contest marketing. You've developed storylines. You have a strong reason why. You're leveraging fame. I note that you're even using a Wistia player, so you get gold star points from me for that.
Yeah, dude. Gold star points from James, something I gladly accept.
On Wistia is... It's my absolute favorite. I love Wistia. And I also, when I was on your site, I got a little chat pop-up window. Do you find that's helpful?
That's so one of our students in the foundation created that business. And he went into people using live chat. And he's like, what do you like about live chat? What don't you like about it? And the common response he got was, I don't like having to do the live chat, but I love the idea of it. So he created a business where he actually mans and powers the live chat for you. So you don't have to do live chat yourself. So you can have live chat on your site and have people closing you. And they charge per conversation or something. I don't know what the pricing is, but it's reasonable. And we just installed it a week ago. And I'm currently a little nervous that that might distract from a conversion. So we're split testing with it on and off. And I'll be able to share the results with you guys in the future. We're running a few different split tests right now. So,
well, make sure, if you're not already doing it, harvest the responses and put them back into the sales messaging.
Beautiful.
That's how I use live chat.
It's beautiful.
Because you can get the transcript and, well, hopefully you can. Whatever's in that transcript is what someone typed in because it wasn't on your page. So it's just an absolute goldmine for your FAQs, your how-to videos, redo your video, split test that, etc. So it's a nice little process optimization. What do you think the important... lessons about marketing should be shared?
Well, just that most people think of marketing as like, you know, the product or marketing a product or service, but marketing to me is all encompassing. Marketing to me begins before a product is even made. I think like the way we define marketing in the foundation is marketing is getting paid to solve problems, and getting paid is the marketing and sales, and solving problems is like really the idea extraction. I think that's what our approach, that's what our definition for the foundation version of marketing is. And I feel like 50% of our, well, your income is not defined by your idea. Your income is not limited by your idea. Maybe it is a little bit. I don't like to speak in absolutes, but for the most part, your idea is not what determines how much money you're going to make. It's actually your marketing mindset that determines how much money you're going to make. So when I had the recruiting website, my marketing idea was to cold call. That's what I did. I cold called brokers and I was making like $5,000 a month. Then I increased my marketing mindset to doing direct response email marketing offers. And my business went from $5,000 to $10,000 a month. So my marketing mindset went from one-on-one sales to more automated email sales. The third thing I did was add webinars. And when I did webinars, my business went from $10,000 to $20,000 a month. So the idea was the same the whole time, but my marketing mindset and my marketing skill increased. That's how my income went up. And notice how phone calls, emails, and webinars, they have nothing to do with the product at all. Nothing at all. It's all the money you're making is in the marketing mindset that you have, in the skills that you bring to the business.
Yeah, I think marketing is simply identifying a group of people who you should be communicating with and then making sure they know about you. and then that in that process, you get to control how they think about you. So that covers everything. And this is why we're talking about videos and documentaries. People need to have a feeling about you. And that starts with the design, the choices you make when you go on camera, the choices you make with your logos, the website they land on, the live chat interaction. All of these things are determining how that customer views you. And then you'll be successful to the extent that you can solve a problem for a lot of people. So scaling your marketing is making more people aware that you are the person that can solve their problem.
Yeah, and marketing isn't guessing. Marketing is very scientific. Like, you know, you have cost to acquire a customer and lifetime value. So when you're scaling, you're just keeping your metrics in check.
Well, it's true from a direct marketing perspective. However, it was interesting when I was reading Insanely Simple about Steve Jobs. He would refuse to use tracking URLs or subpages. He would drive his branding and his message straight to apple.com, and it was up to them to make it relevant with the corresponding receiving messaging and drive them into the thing. So he couldn't care less about the metrics or the scientific stats, and that's the author's argument is that's what the problem with companies like Dell is, that they are too stats obsessed and too slow to roll out stuff. So it was really interesting to see that counter argument for branding and just knowing and going with your real why, that real reason that you're putting this stuff out there and getting the resonation. And a lot of the stuff that Jobs did was very successful with that approach. But it is just a, you know, it's nice to have that counter argument to the strictly scientific side of things.
That's awesome. I prefer that approach. It's a lot of.
I highly recommend. I mean, I would have thought that approach would strike a chord with you because you're an emotional marketer.
Yes.
But I mean, marketing is a fascinating thing. I love marketing. And to some extent, the better you do your marketing, the less selling you have to do. If people know that you're the person for them, they like how they feel about it, that it's obvious that you solve their problem. You don't have to do some, you don't have to do massive manipulations, discounting, scarcity, you know, just tricks and stuff. You have a longer, loyal customer base over the long haul. The thing that I like that you talk about is you're thinking about your business quite some time in the future, and that is just much longer range than most people approach their business. So for our listener, the real takeaway is, if you're truly clear on who your audience is and how you want to move that audience, then and you're going for the longer haul, you can use a concert of technology and storytelling and copywriting and good, clean logos and brands, combine that with some remarketing and get that message out there. Do a podcast, of course, because I've been saying this for some time. All of my best customers come from podcasts. Dane has said exactly the same thing. That's why we're sharing this information. We're putting this information out there for free to stir up a conversation. Hopefully we'll generate some comments about this. What's your viewpoint on marketing? What have you learned from this podcast about marketing? And I suggest people go and have a look at your marketing, Dane, over at the foundation. We'll put a link there and people can go and see what's happening.
Cool. I hope this has been helpful.
Well, yeah, it's great. So I know you have to head off, but I just want to say thanks for coming back. What I'd love to do is invite you back after your launch and tell us what you learned.
Absolutely. There'll be a lot.
Cool. Thank you.
You bet.
There's Dane Maxwell there from thefoundation.com.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.